Shabbat Shalom. Parsha Devarim 57:67.
Fee, fi, fo.
Thumb. Might be an interesting way to start a sermon. You know, you would think that following this, we might get a story of... Oh, what's that guy's name? Oh yeah, Jack and the Beanstalk. But I have another possibility this evening. In fact, this possibility comes directly from the text of the Torah. For on this evening, we begin to read from Deuteronomy. And there, in the initial lines of this last book of the Torah, is the story or the mention of Og, king of Bashan. Og is an unusual character in the Torah and Jewish literature. He is supposedly very tall, has great longevity. He's not the brightest bulb in the firmament, though. Og begs Noah to take him on the ark, and so as not to offend God by letting anybody else on the ark, Noah allows Og to hold on to one of the protruding outer beams of the ark. Then Noah drills a hole through the wall of the ark to give Og food during the 40 days. Then Og proceeds to his next career. He is now king of Bashan. You must also know that by the time Og is king of Bashan, he has outlived Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the exile in Egypt, and is now being a pain to Moses and the Israelites. Og is beyond definition with an appearance in the Talmud, supposedly dead at this point. His bones are found. However, it is later said that he made an appearance in Poland. How he got to Poland, I can only guess. Though Howard Schwartz recounts a story in Poland is that Og shows up in Poland. He's never been to Poland before. He's kind of cold. And so he goes to a tailor shop and demands that they make him a coat. The tailor, seeing the great size of Og, massive, huge, giant, says, "Oh, it'll take at least a week to get it done." Og's angry because he has to be cold for another week. So he says, if the coat is not done in a week, he will come and smash the town and just trample it. So the tailor gets all the other tailors from all the surrounding towns together, and they work on this huge, massive coat. Very, very busy. They pull every scrap of material they can find, and finally, the coat is done when they hear Og is coming, his footsteps pounding the ground, shaking in thunder. The tailors are scared. They look for a place to hide, but they've been working on the coat, and it's been out in this long field, so, you know, where can you hide? Ah! They say, the pockets. So they quickly run into the pockets and hide. And Og puts the coat on with all the tailors still in the pockets. And the tailors are just absolutely terrified. Og puts his hands in the pockets and squeezes the tailors, though he doesn't kill them. And the tailors apparently turn white with fear and with being pressed together. And this is, by the way, the mice of why tailors are always pale-faced. Finally, though, Og could go to sleep. So this is Og's appearance in Poland. Who knew? The bottom line is that Og seems to appear in every generation. But we can look to this week and the generation there in the Torah for a lesson, because I think Og is trying to teach us something. It is said that when Og saw the Israelite camp, that the Israelite camp was 3 parsangs long. What's a parsang, you might ask? A parsang is a Persian unit of distance about 3.5 miles or 5.6 kilometers. Who knew? The things you learn when you research a sermon. Anyway, Og lifted a mountain and held it over the heads of the Israelites. And this mountain was 3 parsangs long, 10.5 miles long. He was ready to crush them to be done with his opponent. It is said that when this happened, God sent rock-eating ants that infested the mountain as Og sought to crush the entire camp. Thus the mountain turned to dust in his hands. According to Howard Schwartz, which is where we get the story of Poland, and is also he's also author of Tree of Souls, this is reminiscent of David's defeat of Goliath with a single stone. And he goes on to comment that part of Israel's survival has been a lack of always meeting force with force, but rather with God's guidance, or unifying idea, we have sought to work together to defeat foes much stronger than ourselves. Now we might hear this and think to ourselves that perhaps this is just fanciful thinking and a victory dance of a small nation that has been lucky more than once. But as I look out into our world today, I wonder. A few weeks ago, there were riots in Iran due to a lack of gasoline. Iran, an energy powerhouse, an increasingly powerful enemy of Israel, America, and the West, is crippled by a lack of what the British call petrol? How could this be? I think back to the mountain and the Midrash about that mountain, how Og held it over the heads of the Israelites. We'd have to ask the question, how could it be that ants could foil the plans of someone like Og? Simply because what was presumed to be whole and unassailable was made weak. And relying on strength and power as the sole avenues for success are the beginning of one's downfall. It is the case with Og, and he serves as a cautionary tale to both Iran and to us. America has been made great because we tend to favor the ant over the mountain. Now make no mistake, enrage us, force us to take up arms and feel that we have to defend ourselves, and you will ignite the sleeping greatness of our country. Though many came to that country and were met by the words of one Emma Lazarus, who said, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores." When I look at our country, I remember that it is from the view of the Israelites, or David, or the rock-eating ants, united for a common purpose that makes us great. These words, crafted by Emma Lazarus, sit at the base of a statue that one might consider to be a giant. But she is not a giant who holds a mountain over her people. She is a giant who raises a beacon of hope for our country, and I would argue for all of humanity. Og, king of Bashan, stowaway on the ark, visitor to Poland, childish yet demanding, was made smaller the greater in size he became. I just can't imagine somebody being able to pick up a 10.5 mile long mountain and not tip over the ark, but maybe he just grew over time. Yet when we believe that it is our size that makes us great, we lose sight of the collective greatness that are a people or a community or a nation. And we have known that our survival for millennia has often been without a land or a home or anything that we could believe was tangible and solid other than faith and purpose. I think Og is mentioned here in this first parsha of Deuteronomy because when we envision our nation and believe that its greatest attribute is its size, or its brute strength, we forget the soul. As Israel moves to become a nation with a land, when it takes its prosperity and enlargement for granted, and we know that this happened because of the constant words of the prophet, when we take our prosperity and enlargement for granted as a nation, it too can make us act just like Og. It can lead us to believe that our greatness and prosperity are not just the results of having a great nation, but are the only things that make us great at all. It is only though with the ants, with the wretched refuse and the teeming masses and the ideas that we shared that brought all of those together that actually makes any country great and successful and truly a nation with common purpose. Shabbat Shalom.